I thought if I stay here too much longer, I'm not going to be able to get up. And so I went and stood in the back, but I looked at my phone to see what time it was. And don't worry about that. Right. I don't worry about that.
Right.
I'm an Eagles fan, and the Cowboys and the Eagles are playing tonight, but I can tell you this. I'd much rather be where I'm at right now than sit in front of a television watching the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Right. I can tell you that right now. Especially after the way I talked about the Cowboys last week, we're probably going to lose. And so I'm glad that I'm getting to preach before the game, right? But I'm not the least bit concerned about that. I'd much rather be right here where I'm at. And I hope you are too. But I looked down, I tapped my phone to see what time it was, and the date and the time popped up. And today's October the 16th.
Right.
Amen. That might not mean a thing to you, but October the 16th. 2005, on a Sunday night, I walked into the back of Bethel Baptist Church, lost in my sin. Oh my goodness, I was a wreck. I mean, a wreck. God reached down in His mercy.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, in His goodness and His grace. And that verse that was read to you tonight, I was born again. Born again.
Amen.
A new life. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank God for the grace of God in salvation. Don't ever get over that. I don't ever want to get over where God found me, what He's done for me. Goodness, God's good. God saved us. Found us in a horrible pit. Picked us up, set our feet on a solid rock. Established our goings. Put a song in our heart. Goodness gracious, our God is good. See, I've tasted. Verse number 3 of chapter 2 says, if so be, He said, because you have, that's what that means. If so be, since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Right.
I tasted it. October the 16th, 2005, greatest thing I've ever tasted in my life. Salvation. Thank you, Brother Calvin.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Goodness. Brother Calvin came to me. Came to my house and picked me up, took me for a ride, and opened up a Bible. Pastor said this morning, Romans 5:8, turn the light on. You know, it's such a weird verse in my heart to turn the light on. I don't know. It's funny when you say that, Pastor. I was thinking about this morning while you were saying it, and I can't explain it. But Brother Calvin was sitting in his black 4Runner up in the Pick and Pack parking lot, and Brother Calvin opened his Bible up and he began to show me that I was a sinner and that Jesus loved me. And I was listening, but I remember He went to John 3:16 and He read 3:16 to me, but it wasn't 3:16 that got me. Is it 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved? It wasn't that verse. It goes on, I'm not sure if it's the next verse or the verse after, it says, for men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And when Brother Calvin read that verse to me, I can't explain it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I heard the Word of God, and the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And I thought, that's me. That's me. I love darkness. I've loved darkness all these years. I love it. It's because I'm evil. But then he went on to show me that God loves me anyway.
Right.
And that Jesus died for me.
Amen.
And that if I'd ask Him to forgive me and ask Him to come to my heart, that He'd save me.
Amen.
And what a wonderful thing. I got saved 17 years ago today.
Amen.
On a Sunday night. Probably not too much further from about this time. It was on a Sunday night after church. I got born again. Thank God for it. I'm not going to say that. We're in 1 Peter. I've been talking about relationships. And I didn't plan to preach on this part of the message in the series of relationships. That began last week talking about relationships in 1 Peter. And we looked at the relationship to the saints. And as I began to pray and study this week for tonight, I really thought I was going to move on into chapter 2. But I just could not get peace about it. And so I try to mind God and preach what God lays on my heart. And I could not move on. And so I want to preach to you tonight, not about our relationship to the saints, but our relationship to the Scriptures. How's your relationship to the Scriptures?
If I'm honest with you tonight, my relationship with the Scriptures is not the way it should be. But I sure want it to be. And I believe I'm speaking to a group of people tonight that you want to have a good relationship with the Scriptures. That's why you're in church on a Sunday night. And so I want to give you a couple things that God gave me. The first thing I want us to look at on this thought of our relationship to the Scriptures, I want to look in verses 23 through verse 25, where I believe that the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, gives an explanation. So the first point is an explanation given. I want to look at how that Peter gives an explanation about some things about the Scriptures. And I think it's good for us to be reminded of these things. I'm not going to teach you anything new tonight. I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. I just want to remind you of some things. I want to put you in remembrance of some things that you already know, but maybe they'll encourage you. Maybe they'll encourage me in our relationship with the Scriptures. The first thing I see about this explanation that Peter gives about the Scriptures is that they're powerful. They're powerful. Look at it in verse number 23. The Bible says, being born again. What power in the Word of God that it can birth a child of God? He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is powerful tonight. Talking about our relationship to the Scriptures. I think I'm talking to a group of people tonight, maybe the most knowledgeable group of people in this community about the power of the Word of God. But let us not ever forget the power that's in the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to change a life. The Word of God has the power to take a lost, hell-bound sinner and save them and birth them into the family of God. What power there is in the Word of God. You see, it's powerful. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know what that gospel is, don't you? Look at verse 25. He said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, the word is how we got the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's that according to the Scriptures that Christ was buried, and according to the Scriptures that Christ rose again from the dead. You see, according to the Scriptures, we have the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we see the Scriptures, an explanation of the Scriptures. Peter said they're powerful. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that has the power to save. Thank God that His Word is powerful. Amen. Hebrews says that the Word of God is quick and what? Powerful. Right. Powerful. The Word of God, it's powerful. There's a lot of people in this world, and there's a lot of rulers, and there's a lot of leaders, and there's a lot of kings, and there's a lot of things in this world that think that they're powerful. But can I tell you, there's none more powerful than the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. Thank God for that. Amen. Talking about our relationship to the Scriptures, Peter gives an explanation about the Scriptures. He says they're powerful. Not only does he say they're powerful, but he says they're pure. Look at it, verse 23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see, that's that pure Word. You see, that corruptible seed, that's our seed. See, I was born February the 14th, 1981, of a corruptible seed. But October the 16th, 2005, I got born again of an incorruptible seed. Amen. See, that first seed was corruptible. That first seed was an impure seed. But that second seed on October the 16th, 2005, that was a pure seed. That was an incorruptible seed. And see, the Word of God, it's pure. The Word of God is pure. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. You see, the Word of God, it's perfect, it's pure, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's without error. You can count on it. Right. The Word of God, it's not going to lie to you. Right. See, Facebook will lie to you. That's right. The news will lie to you. Fox News will lie to you. Politicians will lie to you. Doctors will lie to us. Our own loved ones may even lie to us. But can I tell you, the Word of God cannot lie to us, because the Word of God has no lies in it. It's incorruptible. It's pure. It's perfect. It's purified seven times. The Word of God. We have a pure Word. Aren't you so glad that when you open up your Bible, I'm getting to the place, I think I mentioned this maybe, I get mixed up what I talk to the teenagers about and what I talk to the church about, but I'm getting to the place where I don't believe anything I look at or see. I read stuff on my phone, and I have to go to the comment section on Twitter and start reading down through there to even see if it's true. And that's conservative and liberal. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a conservative say something, and then I click on the comments and I start scrolling down through there, and there's some liberal debunking what they're saying with truth. I know it's hard for us to believe that liberals actually debunk conservatives every now and then, but I'm just telling you, you can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe nothing you hear from a liberal. You can't believe everything you hear from a conservative. Amen. I'm just telling you, I'm getting to the place where if I hear it on TV, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Right.
If I see it in a news clip, and that doesn't mean anything to me. Right. Fake news. Right. Not because Donald Trump said so, because the Word of God says so. The Word of God says in the last days, there's going to be deceptions going to wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. And we're living in that day.
Right. Sure.
And so I'm just telling you, I don't know what to believe, but I know what I can believe, this book right here, because it's pure, it's purified, it's perfect, it's powerful, it's the Word of God. Peter said it's powerful, it's pure. He said, hey, it's practical. I like this. Look at it. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth. You say, what does that mean, Brother Dave? That means it's practical.
Amen.
That means it's up to date.
Right.
It liveth and liveth and liveth. It's just as live today as it was the day Peter wrote it. It's just as applicable today as the day that Peter wrote it. Can I tell you, it's going to be just as applicable tomorrow as it was 2,000 years ago, because it's alive.
Right.
Hebrews said the word of God is quick. You know what that means? It's alive. Our Bible, it's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's pure. It's practical. We can put it to use in our lives today.
Right.
God's word works today. I'm so glad that I have a Bible that works today, because if I didn't have a Bible that worked today, I can tell you right now, I'd be at home sitting in a recliner with ice on my back getting ready for the game. But I'm convinced tonight that if I get up here and I'll give you the Word of God, not my opinion, not what I think, but what God says, that it can go to work and it's practical for today. It can do something in your life today. It can do something in your life tomorrow. It can be put to practice because it's alive. It's living. It's powerful, it's pure, it's perfect, it's practical. And can I tell you this? I really like this. It's permanent.
Right.
It's permanent. He said in verse number 23, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. See, I got born of that corruptible seed February the 14th. I keep repeating that in case some of y'all want to buy me a birthday gift in February. February the 14th, right? And I'm just joking. I said last week, I was talking about people inviting me over to their house, and I got invited somewhere this week. So now I'm talking about my birthday. Y'all think I'm trying to get a birthday gift. I'm not shooting for that, okay? I promise. But listen to me. Hey, I got born of that corruptible seed February the 14th. 1981, and my back's reminding me right now that was a corruptible seed, and this corruptible body one day is going to get laid down. But thank God, October the 16th, 2005, I got born again of an incorruptible seed, and that seed is never going to get laid down. That seed is eternal in the heavens. It's going to go forever. See, I'm going to live as long as God's word lives. I'm going to live as long as God's word lives, and you are going to live as long as God's word lives, because that's the seed by which we got born again.
That's right.
See, that corruptible seed, he's on my dad, I'm telling you, he's on his last leg. And that corruptible seed, it's going to get out of here. Paul said, you're going to put off this corruptible and put on incorruption.
That's right.
This mortal is going to put on immortality. Why? Because we've been born again by an incorruptible seed, a permanent seed. It's going to live forever. Look at it, verse 24. He said, for all flesh, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass, in the glory of man. That's what I was just talking about right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. The glory of man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, his back starts to hurt, his health starts to fade, and the flower thereof faileth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, our Bible is a permanent seed. Thank God for that. I'm feeling something on that tonight. I'm glad that I'm going to live forever because I was born again. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Can I tell you, this old world one day is going to pass away, but Jesus said, my word won't pass away. My word is going to live forever. And because you've been born again by my word, you're going to live forever too.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. That's an explanation that's given. Next, I want to see the example that's given. So the explanation was given. We see the example given. Look in chapter 2, verse number 2. It says, as newborn babes. He gives us an example about our relationship to the scriptures. He says, as newborn babes. He gives an example of a newborn in our relationship to the scriptures. I've had a couple newborns. 5. I'm done with newborns. God might lead us to adopt, but it won't be. Well, I shouldn't say. Don't never say never. Good night. I have a newborn by the end of the year. But he says about a newborn. I've had a couple newborns. Most of you have. You know, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow by. He gives us the example of a newborn. You know, a newborn and milk, their relationship is a natural relationship. It's natural. You don't have to really teach them to want milk. They come out of the womb wanting milk. It's natural. Actually, if they don't want milk, you're probably going to be there a couple days because something's wrong. And can I tell you, our relationship to the scriptures, Peter says, I want to give you an example, the example of a newborn babe. You see, we have a natural relationship with the scriptures. When you get born again, when you get saved by the grace of God, it's just natural to want to hear and to read and to know the word of God. That's why we're here tonight. Why else would a bunch of folks come to church on a Sunday morning, again on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and come for revival meetings and come anytime they can? Why? Because they've been born again and there's a natural relationship with the Word of God. See, if you're here tonight and you don't want to hear the Word of God or you have no natural desire to read the Word of God. Now, we'll talk about some things that can interfere with that here in a minute, but it's just natural when a child of God is born to want to read the Bible. I never wanted the Bible read. I never wanted to hear Bible preaching. I never wanted to be around church till I got born again. But once I got born again, there was just this natural desire within me to know the Bible. I just began to read the Bible. Didn't understand a word of it. Still don't understand a lot of words of it. But it's just natural. It's a natural relationship. Number two, now it's a natural relationship. It's a necessary relationship. A baby needs milk. I think we all understand that. As I said, if a baby doesn't want milk and if a baby doesn't get milk, it's going to be trouble because it's necessary for a baby to have milk. And can I tell you, as a Christian, Peter's given us an example. He says, hey, the Bible is necessary for you. The scriptures are necessary. I believe it was in Job. He said, I esteem thy precepts more than my necessary food. I might not have quoted that perfect, but that he said, hey, it's more important to me than my necessary food. It's more important to me than my next meal. I need the word of God. And so it's a necessary relationship. Number three, it's a nonstop relationship. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother David? Well, if you've had any children, you know what I mean by that. They never get enough. They always want more. You feed them at midnight, and by 3, to me, right? The baby's hungry, right? It's nonstop. Can I tell you, that ought to be the way we are. See, we're getting a feeding tonight from the Word of God, but can I tell you, this ain't going to hold us till Wednesday night. I hope this ain't the only meal that you get before Wednesday. No, we need a meal in the morning. We need a meal tomorrow. And so, you see, it's not only is it necessary, but it's nonstop. It's something that we keep having to come back to. It's not a one-and-done deal. And I know you realize this, but I'm just reminding you tonight, the example that's given, it's a natural relationship, it's a necessary relationship, it's a nonstop relationship, it's a nourishing relationship. Look in verse 2, he says, "The newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." See, the word of God, it's nutritional for our spirit. We need it. It helps us to grow. We sing the song with the little kids, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Right? See, we've got to get in the Bible because it's nutrition for our soul. We need the Word of God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I know I'm telling you something you already know, but I'm just trying to remind you how important it is that we get in the Scriptures. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to stay away from this Bible. The devil doesn't want us reading our Bible. The devil doesn't want us hearing the Word of God preached and hearing it taught and memorizing Scripture. No, the devil knows that the only offensive weapon the Christian has is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So he's going to try to keep us from it. And so we see an example that is given, a newborn babe. And then last, we see the exhortation that's given. So we see the explanation given, we see the example given, and then last, we see the exhortation given. And I'm about done. Look in chapter number 2, verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, because you've been born again," you could go back to verse 22, "because you've been purified your soul in obeying the truth," which is the Word of God, "through the Spirit unto unfeigned love," he says, "because you've been born again of corruptible seed and not of incorruptible seed," he said, "wherefore, because of that," he said, "lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." And so the first exhortation that I see that Peter gives is lay aside. He says, hey, there's some things that you need to lay aside. There's some things that I need to lay aside. Are you listening to me? This is where we really mess up sometimes. I've messed up a lot of times in this area. We tell people, oh, you need to quit. You need to quit listening to that music. And you should if you're listening to the wrong music. Oh, you need to quit watching that garbage on the television. And you should if you're watching garbage on the television. You need to quit hanging out with those people. And you should if you're hanging out with the wrong people. But Peter doesn't go to all those outward sins. No, Peter goes to the inward sins. He says you need to lay aside. That word lay aside, it's the same word that Paul used in Romans when he said cast off the works of darkness. It's the same word in the Greek that was used in the book of Acts when they came and they laid down the clothes at Saul's feet when they stoned Stephen. I don't think they folded them up and laid them down. I think they just took them and threw them at his feet. You see what he's saying? He's saying, hey, you need to lay aside some things. You need to cast off some things. You need to throw away some things. If we're going to have a right relationship with the Scriptures, there's some things in our lives that we've got to get rid of. And I opened up by saying, my relationship with the Scriptures is not where it once was. I'm just being honest with you. There was a time in my life when I first got saved, when I was that newborn babe. I can remember when I couldn't wait, Pastor, to wake up. I couldn't wait to go to bed so I could wake up at 5 a.m. and get by myself with my Bible. I used to, back then when I first got saved, we didn't have smartphones back then. And I seen somebody say this the other day. They said the iPod is joining the junkyard of electronics. It was a Walkman. How many remember Walkman, right? It was a Walkman there, and it was a some other electronic, and then there was an iPod. And I thought, wow, that's pretty true. I used to have an iPod. I don't even know where it's at anymore. The cell phone has just eliminated them all. But back then I had an iPod, and I remember, Pastor, I used to my wife can probably remember, I can't work a computer very well. I know I'm meddling a little bit. I'll be done in a minute. Just hang with me. I'm trying to help you tonight, okay? I'm really trying to help you. I stood back there for an hour. So you all right? You sitting? I felt like I was at the Sammy Allen meeting again. I was standing back there. Brother Sammy gave me practice. I stood for 5 weeks straight every night for about 2 hours listening to him preach. And some of you others did, right? I was having flashbacks. But I had an iPod. I keep wanting to say iPad. An iPod. And I remember I used to get on the computer and I'd ask Merritt to help me out because I'm very, very pitiful with a computer. Even to this day, it's sad. I can't even get on my laptop without help. It's sad, bro. I can't remember my password. Whoever come up with that stupid stuff of passwords? Good night. I'm going to spend half my life. I'm going to stand before God for all the time I waste it trying to figure out my password. Every time I do it, I'm like, I'll never forget this one. That's like when you lay something somewhere and you say, I'm going to put it here because I know I'll never forget where it's at. And then you have no idea where it's at, right? But I had an iPod. I got to hurry here. I had an iPod, and I used to go down there, and I'd get on a website. And there was a couple different websites I'd go to, Old Past Sermons, fundamentalsermons.org, and different ones. I don't think they're around no more. But I used to go down there, and at night, I would download 3 or 4 or 5 messages on my iPod. I'd plug it up to the computer, and I'd ask Meredith, is it right? Is it downloading? And I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get up and go to work. Because I knew, man, I'm going to get up in the morning, I get to read my Bible, and then I'm going to get to go to work. And once I get to work, my coworker at that time, he didn't like to talk to me ever. And so I just knew we'd get to work, and he was going to put on his talk radio, and I was going to put in my earphones, and I was going to listen to 5 or 6 sermons. And I couldn't wait. I'd read the title, and I'd think, man, this is going to be a good one. Can't wait to listen to that tomorrow. I would go to bed excited about the Word of God. What happened? What happened? God didn't change. Maybe there's malice in my heart. Maybe there's guile in my life. Maybe there's some envy that snuck in there. Peter said, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Maybe there's some slander in my heart. I don't know. I looked those words up. It means extreme ill will. Maybe you've got some extreme ill will against someone tonight. Maybe you're jealous of someone tonight. Maybe there's something that you would like to see happen to someone tonight. Maybe there's deceit in your life tonight. Maybe there's some insincerity in our lives tonight. That's what the word hypocrisy means. Maybe there's some slander in our lips tonight. Maybe we've been backbiting or tailbearing or talking about someone in a way that we shouldn't talk about them, and it's affecting our appetite. We just got to get real. See, I want to have a desire for the Word of God. And if I'm going to, I believe Peter's saying, hey, you want to have a desire for that Word, that incorruptible seed of the Word of God? He said, you better lay aside some things. And it's not the things we think of. It's those inward things. He says, there's some things inside of you that you need to get rid of. They're affecting your appetite. I've got children. Oh, man, you got to watch them. They'll fill up on junk. They'll eat donuts and sweets and sodas. That's not nutritional. And I think sometimes we're not careful, we'll do the same. So we see there's a laying aside. Number 2, there's a longing after. He says you need to long after. Look at it, verse number 2. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said that word desire is longing. Do you have a longing tonight for the Word of God? I believe you do. That's why you're here. I do. I believe the reason you're here tonight is you long for the Word of God. I long for the Word of God. Not like I have at times in my life, but oh, how I want to long after the Word of God. It was Job 23:12. I had it written down here. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Sounds like to me that Job was longing for the Word of God. I was thinking about when Brother Ouellette was here and he was talking about how that David, he said, oh, that I'd have a drink of water from that well. He was longing for that drink of water. Would to God that we would long for a drink of water from the Word of God. The milk of the Word. Long after it. Desire it. Want it. He says there's a laying aside, there's a longing after, and then last, there's a living, live accordingly. He says lay aside, long after, and then he says live accordingly. Look at verse 3. He said, if so be. If so be. Basically, since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, live according. That's what he's saying. It says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You see, once we've tasted of the word of God, we ought to just live according to it. Why? Because we know it's the best way. Why would we? I was thinking about Pastor. I'm shutting my book here. Y'all say, well, that don't mean anything. I was thinking about Pastor. Brother Brian's finally, Pastor's finally convinced. He told me before he left vacation, Pastor. He looked at me and said, "You know, I ain't going to say what he said. He said your whole name, middle name and all." He said he knows something. I said, "He does. I know he does." He said, "When he finds something he likes, he just keeps going back to it." He said, "I tried 3 different restaurants this week, and they were all terrible. And I wasted my money." And if you've ever been out to eat with Brian, it was a lot of money. Because he usually gets the most expensive thing on the menu. And he was getting seafood that week. He said, I tried 3 different restaurants this week, and every one of them let me down. He said, "But not Pastor Dale." He said, "Not Pastor Dale. He knows what he finds something he likes, he just keeps going back to it." He knows he likes Miller's. We go to Outback. He likes Outback. He used to. He's been replaced Outback, but they've gone downhill. But when we go to the Outer Banks, Pastor's going to Miller's. Went 3 times this year. Amen. 3 times this year, amen. I went once, and it was good. It was good. But he went 3 times. Why? Because he knows when he finds something he likes, he just keeps going back to it. He likes vanilla ice cream. Brian said, "Pastor, they got 30-some flavors at Baskin-Robbins. You don't want to try a different one?" "Why would I, Brian? I like vanilla." See, he don't have to be disappointed. He knows what he likes. And so he's just going to keep going back to it. I admit, I'm one of those people, I like trying new things. Now, the disadvantage is you try new things and then you find something else you like. Right? But for this illustration, we've tasted. We've tasted. There's nothing like it, brethren. There is nothing like it. This world has nothing to offer us. But if we're not careful, we'll do like Brother Brian and Brother David. We'll go try something new. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to waste our time. We're going to waste our money, and we're going to walk away disappointed. Because we've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is gracious. He's good. And so we might as well just quit trying something else, quit looking for something else, and just live according to the word of God, because there's nothing better. Amen. You're not going to improve on it, brethren. Then nothing's going to improve on it. Amen. Young people, listen to me. There's nothing better. I can't tell you how many I've seen walk out of those doors thinking they're going to find something better. And some of them, by the grace of God, have enough in them to chunk their pride like the prodigal did and come on back home and get back in on the good stuff. But some of them are going to live in the pig pen the rest of their life because they won't chunk their pride and come back home. But can I tell you, they're never going to find anything better. We've tasted it. We know it's the best. No need to try nothing else. I don't need to try anything else. I got the word of God. Amen. It's powerful. It's perfect. It's pure. It's practical. It's permanent. It's the word of God. How's our relationship to it tonight? Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to ask the pianist to come to the...